Okay, world, it's your girl Malika X, and we are back with another week of Being Frank, the podcast, where you can be bold, honest, and unmistakable. As always, I have something special for y'all, so stay tuned and keep listening. If you have questions, you can always send them over to social@beingfrankmedia.com. That's social@beingfrankmedia.com. With that, let's kick off the show. Oh my God, I'm so excited to be back this week. Man, this week has just been filled with so much that I've been like picking up my phone and just recording using the Anchor app on my phone throughout the week so that I wouldn't forget some of the stuff that's happened to me, and just so that you can experience the raw emotion in real time, because I'm often like, you know, recording late at night when I've thought things through and processed everything. But child, this week it is just too much to do all of that, so I'm trying to keep up with the time. The universe will give you so much, and all we have to do is pay attention and listen. It will fulfill every need. Trust, just trust that. And this week, honey, the content is just so much that I'm going to just, here's my disclaimer up front, because pause, I have to slow down and open up the show the right way. But I'm going to start by giving a disclaimer. Okay, I know that I said it will be short. Each podcast will be around 30 plus minutes. You know, I'll keep it short and sweet. I have to face the brutal facts. I'm reading this book right now. And that's one of the chapters, chapter four of just, I have a book list, sidebar, and I do this too. This is why I cannot stay under 30 minutes. It is, you know, something I have to face the brutal facts, as I was saying, because I'm about to go into this sidebar about the book that I was reading. And it was just one of those moments of reflection. The title of the book is called Good to Great. It's by James Collins. And each summer I do a book study, like book list, where I literally go to the library and check out all of these books. I like the smell of books. I like to hold books. I like to read books during the summer. And I just challenge myself to like read. But this is a book that I've been reading. And I started because it was for, I kept hearing about it, like, you know, in the business world and corporate America, they talk about, you know, these different books. And when you are like working on yourself, you hear people like throw out names and name drop, you know, inspirational quotes and different stuff. So that's how I came to know the book From Good to Great. And it just, a sidebar to the sidebar, and this is why I cannot, it's taking me so long to do this, but the sidebar to the sidebar, it discusses like how we don't study the process that it takes to go from being good to great. So the book is one of those things that I'm, you know, I'm just constantly reminded on in another way, from away from the content that I'm developing for the podcast, of me being reflective of my choices and being disciplined. So I am going to challenge myself and just set my goal and be realistic, make a smart goal for all my teachers out there. We're always making smart goals and shit. But I understand that I said that I would give you, you know, some dope content in a short amount of period and being focused. But I understand from week to week that is not going to be attainable, the A in smart. So I'm going to just be disciplined and making sure that I keep it between 30 minutes to an hour. I'm going to be time bound, the T in smart, for the smart goal. But just knowing that it wasn't because of the besties. I blame my besties in the last episode, that it was because of them. But then the last episode was an hour, almost an hour. So this shit just takes time. When you have the content, I'm just not going to hold myself to, you know, something that is not attainable, but at the same time being realistic in the R and smart, knowing that people's attention spans aren't going to last really beyond the hour. Your shit got to be really dope, movie, you know, type shit for people to be ready to tune in and stay in focus after an hour. And I get that. So I guess it was just something that I had to realize. And through that book, I was like, okay, Malika, you have to readjust this and let your listeners know. You did say in 30 minute plus time frame, but from week to week, that could change. So I'm going to just say that. And baby, the next piece, I just have to add, I guess, a different segment or an addition to the segments that I talked about in outline, because baby, I welcome the feedback and I'm a very reflective person, as I spoke about with this book, and already making adjustments to the time for the podcast. But I make adjustments based on your feedback, because you girls will get me together, okay? And I don't shy away from the feedback. I welcome the feedback. I love the feedback. It lets me know that, you know, you guys actually care. For real, for real. You care. That's why you give it. And so I'm going to show you that I'm listening, and I'm going to remember and those things as the feedback is coming in and apply them to the podcast as needed. I'll say that, as needed. So the feedback, I realize, is, you know, it's based on people's perceptions, but some of the shit is just a fact. It's a fact of life. You know, perception is your reality, right? And that is the fact. And, you know, I can argue down with one of my homies, Ada, that was on the show before, baby, about the facts, honey, the facts. And the feedback is the fact. So I get that. And, baby, it's a fact of life. I'm showing my age. It takes the good. It takes the bad. It takes things we never had. Some people don't know what I'm talking about when I sing that. But for those special breeds that's been cut from a different cloth, like I said, my 80s babies, 70s, 80s babies, y'all know what I'm talking about. So with the feedback, I get it. I'm going to add a section each week. If something has happened in the previous podcast, I'm going to title this segment Righting My Wrongs. And that comes from a title. And if you are a reader like myself, last year's book list, I read a book called Righting My Wrongs by Shaka Singor, I believe is how you pronounce his name. You girls will get me together if I don't get that right. And I believe, I think it's Righting My Wrongs, Redemption, something, something. He got like a Righting My Wrongs is the title. And that's what I'm going to, it's like the main title, and then it's a subtitle. Anyway, that's the sidebar. If you want to read the book, go check it out. Shaka Singor, if you put that in, you'll find it. Period. But anyway, I have to right my wrongs on this podcast. So this part is a way to just kind of recap last week. And if there was something, because, you know, I got my fact checkers out there. Like I said, the feedback is a part of the reflective piece, and it's a fact. So there were some things from last week that I have to address, and I'm not afraid to do that. I am going to just lean into it. Like Oprah say, when you have shit that's an issue, a problem, and you take ownership, you just lean into it. Just get it over with, get it done, and you feel so much better about it. So a couple things happened in last week's podcast. If you weren't paying attention, you could probably go back and listen. There were three things that I have to write my wrong for. I did wrong, so I'm writing these wrongs. You get it, the title, the plan words, whatever. So this segment, there are three things, and one of them is I use the word gag. Now, one of my friends and I, we talk a lot, and we always, the girls always used to use the gag is. The gag is. Gag, gag, gag. It's one of those little words that we often use in the LGBTQ community. We use often when we are saying something where, you know, oh, but something really is an undertone there, you know. So you might say, and the gag is yada, 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 because there's another undertone. There's more meaning to things. So I got to explain that for the people that are listening that don't get our language. There's a culture within the culture in the culture. So you have women, you have black folks listening, you have the LGBTQ community listening. So not everybody gets that. That's why I have to kind of teach a lot. It's just in me to teach anyway. But I know I said I was not going to use that word, gag. I had gave it up because Miss Kiki Palmer, the gag is girls and the gag is the girls and the gag. We heard her say that word. She overused the word and it just made a lot of us frustrated. And we kind of retired the word. We just said, you know, we're going to hang this one up and we're going to never use this one. We're going to let her have it. But fuck that. I'm reclaiming the gag because sometimes I need to say that. And so I'm saying it to you. I'm reclaiming the gag is. I'm bringing it back. I'm bringing it out of retirement. I'm digging that bitch up out the grave. And if you hear me say it, hey, I'm telling you now, I am bringing it back and I'm reclaiming it from Miss Kiki. Sorry, girl, but we need our word back. And we're going to need you to slow down using the gag is. You can't say it like more than two times in the conversation. Let's just limit her to that. So I did say the gag is in the last episode. Another thing that I did wrong is there was a moment in the segment where I was talking about where my focus really was on just things that were happening in sports because my team, unfortunately, they lost. And but I was talking about just black people in sports more or less and getting around to the fact that I had to just suck that shit up and say that my team got swept. So y'all like how I did that. But my team was there and yours wasn't was what you needed to take away from that segment. But some people realized that I said the wrong thing. I was saying when I was talking about Mr. and Mrs. Russell and Sierra Wilson, owners, Russell and Sierra Wilson. I don't know. Is Sierra hyphenated? I believe she took that man's whole last name and didn't hyphenate. If she was me, if I was her, I would not have hyphenated either, honey. But them being owners of a Major League Baseball team and part owners, first of all, let me make sure I say that they hold a percentage. I understand, but it's movement for us in sports because in the segment last week, I talked about just how 45 is doing some different things in football and forcing rules on a predominantly African-American industry, some things that, you know, we already know about what the knee really meant. So I wanted to speak on Russell and Sierra in a positive light, and I was messing shit up the whole time, calling it the NBL instead of the MLB, which is Major League Baseball, and I was saying NBL because my mind, I just be talking, and that shit just be running together sometimes, those acronyms, baby. So my bad, I was just trying to shout out black people taking ownership of shit. And that was the whole point of that piece in that segment. So, and one other thing, the third thing that I did wrong last time. So again, just bear with me. I'm righting my wrongs. Recapping last week is I was talking about, you know, the G7 summit and the world leaders and how they got together and how 45 was so fucking disrespectful by coming late and then leaving early. And we found out that later there was a bunch of words exchanged, that it was a hostile kind of environment. He just made everybody uncomfortable. Just so that y'all know that shit like that be happening. And if you're not into politics, pay attention, because our fucking neighbors to the north, the Canadians, who are some of the nicest people on the planet. I've traveled a lot, been to 5 of 7 of our continents, several countries. And let me tell you, I had the best time in Toronto, in Canada. And maybe it was just me and my experience at the time that I went. But I tell you, compare. I mean, I've had lots of experiences around the world, but they were some of the nicest fucking people I've ever met in my life. So to know that our president has upset their prime minister and the people of that country, it was just like me shedding light on that experience with the G7 summit, and not just the Canadians. He's got a lot of people fucking mad at him after that summit. But I kept saying GT. And I don't know if you girls caught that, because probably not into politics and that's not your thing. But I just wanted to right my wrong, because I caught it when I listened back. But once I record, I can't like erase and do all of these little tweaks, because I don't have the technology and software yet. Because I know God is able. So I'm saying yet. So with that, I just wanted to right my wrongs with those three things. In this week's Imperfect Union segment, y'all, we had the primary elections in Charleston County on Tuesday. And by the time y'all hear this, it's going to be Sunday. But I don't know where my Nina Turner, my Bakari Sellers, or my Angela Rye, if y'all don't know who those people are, you need to look them up. They are progressive political I would say correspondence now, but Nina, she held a Senate seat for Ohio and worked with Bernie Sanders. Bakari, he held a congressional, and let me get this right, position in the state of South Carolina at one point, and now is also doing some work with Angela Rye on CNN as a correspondent. But bitch, when I tell you I needed them all together to form one, when I went and voted, actually, I just needed, I didn't need Angela, because she would have had me on one, no pun intended, but I just needed something and somebody. And for this week's segment, we're going to need all of their expertise to help us unpack what has happened in politics, because it is a lot going on. Today, you know, the system tried me. I'll just say that. And I'm sure it tried other people when they went to go cast their vote. So I've lived in Charleston for 8 years. 8 years. So I voted in 2012, the general election, the primary. So every other year since 2012, since I've been here, right? I moved here in 2010. So Obama was back in office, 12. Of course, I went out for that. You know, a couple friends of mine are board members and things, got different political positions in this area. So I make sure I support grassroots change and, you know, my locality and these different positions that I'm learning as over time I've learned how important they are. So again, this year, someone I know is on the ballot for Register of Deeds, which you may say, what the hell does a Register of Deeds do? Well, it's a very important position, and is, and long story short, it involves making sure, ensuring that anything with properties, liens, property lines, gerrymandering. I don't know if you're familiar with how they divide lines and draw lines in cities to create these different districts and voting districts, or school, even school districts where kids go to, and some kids are bused to here instead of walking to school. So it deals with property. So deeds, think of deeds and property and lines and homes and homeowners and land, right? And in Charleston, that's a really, really, really important thing right now because of all the regentrification that's happening in the city, and a lot of Black people who's been handed down land over generations and may or may not have the proper documentation throughout their family, or could have lost it, or whatever the case may be, or you just had these slick ass lawyers, attorneys coming in, dangling the check out in front of people's face, and they are not informed, right? We got to stay ready so we don't have to get ready. So stay informed. That's number one. So the register of deeds is the person you will go to, or your case or whatever will go to determine if that is the case, if that's your property line or that's the deed to your home, or, you know, your home is registered and all of this. So long story short, it's more to it than that. But just the everyday man understanding, layman's understanding of what that position is. A friend of mine is running for that position. So, I mean, I was going to go out anyway because the gubernatorial race in South Carolina, I cannot have McMaster back in. I mean, he's, you know, a Trump supporter. And, you know, I'm hoping that we can do what Alabama did and flip this red state blue. So we got to make sure we have a strong Democratic candidate that can go up against McMaster in November, right? In the November election. So I went to go cast my vote. All right, let me get to the story. I'm teaching. I'm sorry. I'm a teacher at heart. But I went to go cast my vote, and I've always voted there. This is what I want to tell y'all. I've never had a different polling station. Now, I'm leaving work, so I usually, and this is, you know, I stay ready so I don't have to get ready, but today I got caught slipping. I knew I was going to vote, but before I left the house this morning, which I leave the house at between 6 and 6:30 in the morning, I forgot to grab my voter registration card, which I know you don't have to have it to vote. That's something that's not true, you know, so that's a falsehood. If they tell you you have to have it, you don't. You either have to have ID or you have to have your voter registration card. That's number one. And I knew I had my ID. So I hand the lady my ID, and I had to apologize profusely, and I had to bring it down a notch and remember, first of all, I was talking to an elder, a black woman, who is at this voter, this polling station, probably volunteering and ain't getting paid. She's doing it because she believes in it. Our ancestors have fought for it. And this is, you know, her using, doing her civic duties and doing what's right, right? But she takes my ID, and she's following protocol. That's what I have to remember. She is doing her job. And she asks me to verify my address, which I don't recall ever being asked that question. So this is where things went left. She asked me to verify my address. Now, on my ID, which, like many people out there, I'm sure, my address on my state ID is different from my current address because I've moved and I just didn't take time to get a new ID. But one thing I did take time to do is to register my current ID with the Board of Elections, because I know how important that is. I did do that. I did go to the DMV when it was time to get my tag. I ain't bothered with that additional line. Y'all know how the fucking DMV can be. It's a fucking black hole when you get in there, and you in there for hours and hours, and it's different lines depending on which service you need. Now you end up spending 3 hours at the DMV because you need three different things, and one person can't even help you with that, you know, that thing. You got to have three different tickets because you need an ID, you need registration, and then, you know, while you're doing your registration, they do ask you about making sure that you're a registered voter. They do that. But, you know, long story short, the DMV is a fucking black hole, and it's just time wasted in there that I feel like one person could do all of that, but you end up in two and three different lines just to get a new ID. And then you got to go wait in a different line and go take your picture. So I didn't bother to do that. But what I did bother to do, which I thought I was doing right? And I made sure that my new address was in the system and not only registered with the DMV, but also with the Board of Elections. But here I am today. I have my ID to the lady, an elder, black woman. I had to keep it together because I knew, you know, I got respect. Unlike some of these, you know, this other generation, we're not going to talk about them today. But I held it together because she asked me to verify my address, which I was like, what? Okay, I said my address, what it was. She goes, well, that's not what we have on file. Unfortunately, you won't be able to vote here today. So, if you know me, which you've probably gotten a little taste of my personality by now from listening to this podcast, you know I wasn't having that shit. I'm about to exercise my right to vote today at this polling station because this is the one I've always been assigned to. I've never been assigned to any other one because I've always lived in North Charleston. So it just never, it didn't matter to me. I didn't understand why she could tell me this. So here, you know, there's always somebody on standby to tell you, you know, like if there is a problem, they pull you to the side, like you about to fuck the place up or something. They pull me to the side and have me, well, ma'am, just be patient with us and, you know, understand that we're just here doing our job. And I brought it down. I had to breathe through it. I understand. They're doing their job, so I can't be mad at them. But the frustration was brewing and, you know, my blood pressure was rising because I'm like, since when did we have to motherfucking verify our ID? And the craziest part is once I told her what I'm not verify our ID, but verify our address. The craziest thing that happened when I said what my address was, she goes, well, that's not what we have here. So you do see me in the system as a registered voter for this polling station then. Yeah, you gonna tell me I can't vote right now. What? So if we get this question wrong, and in some cases, it ain't our problem. It ain't my fault because my voter registration card comes to my new address. And if I had that, that's why I say you got to stay ready so you don't got to get ready. Always stay ready. And I got caught slipping today. If I would have had that, I wouldn't have had no issue. But that's two forms of ID. We don't really need that. And since when they created this question as another fucking loophole for us to have to jump through? Like the voter suppression shit is so real and I witnessed it for myself today. Now, why wouldn't I be able to vote if you see my name in this damn computer and you see my name not only in the computer, but assigned to this polling station? I'm confused. And that's what I said. I'm confused. So what is the problem where you answered the question wrong about verifying your address? Huh? But you see my name in there, right? And you see that this is where I'm supposed to come to vote. And I'm here. But because I've answered the question wrong, which is really right, but y'all haven't updated it, which that, to me, y'all, could be intentional. And then guess what they tell me? Now, I ended up voting, thanking God. Thank God, long story short, because I probably would have been pissed if I ain't get my little sticker. I voted today. And not only that, of course, cast my ballot for those individuals that I want to see on the November ballot when it comes down to the midterm. So the lady said, well, here's what we can do. Because she knew I was right. I'm here. I'm registered here. This is my polling station. Y'all see it in the computer. What the fuck is the problem? Since when y'all asked us these questions? So she says, well, what we can do is have you fill out this change of address form. And let me tell y'all, the change of address form makes you state your old address, new address. It also makes you fill in your birthday, your social security number, which I think is a lot. Like, why do I have to put my social on here? And she said, verify your identity so that it's not like, I guess they think you're going to vote more than once. You know, that whole voter fraud thing that they've been pushing that somebody, you know, I won't say, you know, which party or which person is pushing, like, we just out here cheating and doing extra ballots and, you know, going out to multiple polling stations to vote more than once for our candidates. But, you know, the voter fraud. So there's no voter fraud, and we can attach, you know, your identity to this voter registration. I said, what? Really? I don't ever, I mean, at the DMV, of course, they have all of that stuff on file. But to write down my full name, my full address, my birthday, my social, everything, and hand it off to this dear sweet elder of mine that I'm trusting to make sure my shit stay private is also an issue that I have. Because not only is it, I guess this is what they tell us, that's the propaganda they pushing out, is that it's voter fraud. But what about identity theft? It's more that shit I hear about than voter fraud. I don't hear about no voter fraud. I hear about fucking people's identity getting stolen all the time. And here I am just giving my entire identity away to these people. And I won't say these people because, I mean, hopefully they were vetted to do this job, and I mean, maybe some type of background check was done, but I'm handing her off this, my entire identity, just so I can vote today, y'all, because I answered the question wrong, that I have to now verify my address, which I don't recall us having to do before. And that's where I'm talking about voter suppression. And then she says, if we don't get this right, and I think I said this once already, if I didn't get this right today, if I didn't get it straightened out before November, I wouldn't have been able to vote in November. Let that sink in. So how many of us did not go to the primary and vote today, but are going to show up in November and be asked that question to verify their address? And just like me, who I feel like I do most things right, I actually went and registered with the Board of Elections and changed my address at the DMV. I just didn't want to stand in the extra fucking line to get the picture taken and change it on the card. How many of us are going to be turned around at the polls in November? I'm telling you. We gotta stay in formation. Get ready. I mean, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. That's what I need to say. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready. This shit is getting real. And that has never happened to me. But I've heard things happening at polls before in the past, especially during the Obama era where people were turned around. But I really got a feeling because they understand that, you know, we are involved and we are resisting this new administration in numbers like no other numbers than before, like coming out, showing up. I know that I paid attention to the sheet that I signed. I was 46 on the fifth page of Democratic voters only. So they ask you, well, what are you voting today, Democrat or Republican? And they give you a sheet to sign, you know, to verify that you you were a registered voter, blah, 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 and they're counting. So I was on the fifth sheet at my polling station, and the sheet, I believe, held about, I would say, 100 names, and they're already at sheet number 5 by the time I got there. So we are showing up and showing out, but how many of us didn't show up today that will show up in November and get turned away by that question that we get wrong because our IDs aren't in line with what they have in the system? Not that we ain't even go change it with the Board of Elections, but that their systems somehow didn't update. I call bullshit. So I got to keep my ear to the streets, and it's not just about binge watching on Netflix. Sometimes I have to turn on the actual news or read, you know, the New York Times or whatever, USA Today, to get the total picture. And I don't know how I missed this one last week. So I have to talk about how 45 disrespected our WNBA players and by not even inviting them to the White House. We know they probably wouldn't have gone, but I don't know if y'all heard about the Minnesota Lynx and them, the women's basketball team. Now, first of all, they have a dynasty over there. They have won the championship for the last 4 years. 4 years. I want to make sure I get that right. And if I don't, I can always right my wrong next week. But they wasn't even invited to the White House this year. But let me tell you what these girls did. And it's so hard for me not to use one of my favorite words doing this part, but this some serious shit. So I'm not going to even turn it into, you know, anything funny, but you know, most who on the team, right? On our team, it's our team, right? So again, we have to stand up for our team when there has been wrongs done towards our team. It's just that's the message, even if I digress. Remember that, okay? Let me put that out first. But these ladies decided to go to Washington anyway. I don't know how I missed this last week, and it was long enough. I probably would have been over an hour if I would have added this. But just to be quick and add this and make sure we give them recognition, although they weren't invited, they decided to go anyway and do some community service work. And they gave out shoes and did some different things with disadvantaged youth at public school. So it didn't matter. They were showing what champions do. They led by example and went out there and showed what it doesn't take an invite to the White House. It doesn't really take that to, you know, show what real champions do. And I just wanted to commend those girls and just give them a quick shout out. If you haven't heard about that, I'm sure most of us have heard about them not even getting an invite, but that's kind of fucked up. And that just shows another prejudice. The prejudice piece, and I couldn't decide what segment I wanted to add this to, but how deeply rooted this thing is with 45, and it goes back to his administration and, you know, the legacy that he's leaving and the base that he's, you know, really riling up in politics and policy, and the shit that they're doing right now out of that White House is just appalling, really, because you could at least send them an invite. Every other president has done that. Whether they decided to take it or not would have been on them. And we knew they would. I'm going to just say, I know they wouldn't have. But to not even send it is a slap in the face. And, you know, the coach is citing like gender bias, gender, you know, different things. But I just think it was, you know, not only gender issues, but also because there's a lot of us, LGBT community, I would say, the community is represented through the WNBA. It's just so much other stuff, underlining stuff. So I just was appalled by that with 45. And, you know, this is our imperfect union. This is that part. I don't know if it got any news coverage on CNN or MSNBC, but we need to be aware and know that these things are happening because, you know, we continue to live in this society where we think, you know, during Pride Month, we're going to be honored and recognized, and we get shitted on by our commander and fucking chief, women. Who, and some of you white women who put him in office, I'm going to just leave that there and walk away. So I do want to say, as we transition into the next segment, we will never forget June 12th. and just wanted to pay tribute to the victims of the Pulse nightclub shooting. June 12th is the anniversary, and we just had that this past week. I tell you, the universe, so much happened this week, and I just didn't want to leave out any of the content. And the attack on the nightclub was one of the largest mass shootings by a gunman in the U.S. Of course, I believe that has gotten greater, but it was a direct attack on our community. And as we, you know, celebrate this month, let's just really, you know, take a time and have a moment of silence for those 49 people in that nightclub that lost their lives. And not only that, those that are continuing to suffer probably from PTSD because they were there, and those family members and friends that lost loved ones on that day, and those that have been injured in that traumatic incident, we will never forget. So next we got our Pride and Prejudice segment, and there was so much content this week, but I want to highlight three things quickly and thoroughly so that we are all aware of what happened this week in our LGBTQ community. One main major thing was the U.S. Supreme Court ruling for this masterpiece cake shop owner. And I'm going to say it's a cake shop of shit. This case has gone through the highest level of court, and they have ruled in favor of the cake shop owner. Our United States Supreme Court has ruled in favor of the cake shop owner. If you didn't know, this cake shop owner decided that he did not have to serve a gay couple and create a cake for their wedding day. First of all, let me take that back. He will serve you. He will sell you things in his shop. You can buy things like cookies or cupcakes, whatever the fuck else is in his cake shop, cake pops and those things. He wants your coin for that. But he does not, on the grounds, because baby, you know how they get, on the grounds of his religious beliefs, when it comes to marriage, that he should be required, or he's refusing to make cakes for gay couples because it goes against his religious freedom. So that's a lot to swallow. It's been in the course of the last 5 years, and I just can't believe that it went to the highest level of court and it still ruled in favor of the cake shop owner, our highest level of court, the United States Supreme Court. So you got to understand how many levels it has to go through, starting off at the district, city, circuit courts, that part, the state level, and then it going all the way up to the United States Supreme Court. These guys, this gay couple, actually won at the state level, only for it to be overturned. So I know they were devastated. And we need to be aware in our community when our issues are on the ballot. It starts with a cake today, right? But what about tomorrow? You know, they refusing on the grounds of religious beliefs that they do not have to make things or sell things to us, although we're buying it with our coins, because, you know, we come correct. We're not asking for no handout, but they have a constitutional right to discriminate against us based on their religion. So it started with a cake today. I said that. What about tomorrow? Because now this is precedent. Supreme Court sets the precedence for what other cases will do. I'm hoping that we will see some type of light at the end of the tunnel with this, but this one is truly heartbreaking. I am waiting for Miss T.S. Madison to come, the real queen of Supreme Court, honey, to make a ruling, because this is not fair. I just cannot believe. And it was by a leading majority, 2-7 vote. If y'all didn't know, it was an overwhelming majority for, and that sided with the cake shop owner, which just blows my mind. So with me watching all of this TV on Netflix, like I said, I hardly ever turn on the TV. I have Apple TV. I've said that before. I hardly ever watch like regular stations. I don't have cable. I'm usually looking at Hulu, Netflix, or something off the Fire Stick on one of the apps. I am always like watching the same commercials. So I talked about a commercial last week, only for this week, the universe to hand me another commercial to critique. And I don't know how it's pronounced, but it is spelled G-I-L-E-A-D. I'm sorry, correction before you correct me, G-I-L-E-A-D. And it could be an acronym, but I would, you know, I watch a lot of Handmaid's Tale, like I said, on Hulu. And Gilead, and I know there's a bomb in Gilead. So that is how I would pronounce it. But again, it could be an acronym for this company. But they created this commercial, and it began running the commercial last week. And it airs on network television, but it airs late at night. And it's an awareness ad. And it just started running, you know, during the month of June. So, during the commercial, the actors are talking about how they fear getting tested for HIV and that, you know, they didn't use a condom and that honestly, it's time. So that's the hashtag for the commercial. Honestly, it's time. So honestly, it's time to get tested. But the background, like if you do the research on this particular company, which I did because I just couldn't stand the commercial because you see like a gay couple in the scene. You see, you know, I feel like, you know, stereotypical gays in the commercial straight. I could say some of it is not just couples, but I feel like it is targeting our community. That's just me. Maybe somebody else, you could look at it and we can argue and have a healthy debate. But I want to run it because not only there's like some hidden meaning here. So when I start like looking at stuff and analyzing it, I'm like, okay, let me see, what is this commercial really about? Well, come to find out, the maker of the commercial is a maker of a huge pharmaceutical company that is a maker of PrEP. And I'm not shaming anybody that uses PrEP, but I just find it intriguing, really, that during the month of LGBTQ Pride, IA, I'm always forget that. And I know I forgot that like the entire episode, LGBTQIA Pride Month, they start running this commercial, which really is everybody, if you care, you would run the commercial all year about, you know, everybody knowing their status, right? It's not just during the month of June. But I guess, okay, we can have an awareness for HIV awareness. And I believe there's a day for that. Anyway, a National HIV Awareness Day. And I'm going to look that up. I'm going to make sure I make a little note to look that up. Because I don't think it's in the month of June. But if it is, I stand corrected. So it makes sense to run the ad. But the maker of the commercial is a pharmaceutical company that makes PrEP, is my point. So I want to just run the commercial for y'all because is it honestly it's time to use a condom? Is it honestly it's time to take an HIV test? Or honestly it's time to use PrEP because I know I'm going to be out here fucking raw. So take a listen. You tell me what you think.
Honestly?
Honestly.
Honestly?
We should have used a condom, but we got distracted.
I know I should get tested for HIV, but honestly, I'm afraid to find out.
Honestly, we've been together for a while, so getting tested never really crossed my mind.
Honestly, no one wants to think about HIV, but there are things that everyone can do to help protect their sexual health.
Condoms are a great start.
Get tested and ask a healthcare provider about all of your prevention options.
Because honestly,
our health is worth protecting.
Okay, so commercial-wise, honestly, it's time for everyone to know their status. We should. I agree wholeheartedly. But once I researched the maker of the commercial, my view became tainted. My viewpoint was just, you know, I couldn't look at the commercial just for what it was anymore. So that's just me and my thinking. I just have, you know, my heart is torn in understanding, like, what is the message, really the underlying message. And maybe I'm just overanalyzing because I do that too. Y'all know me. I'm that's just who I am. But yeah, check that commercial out. So the last thing I want to talk about in this segment of Pride and Prejudice, honey, is Pose in My House. Just wanting to touch on this because each week these two shows will be bringing us life. I don't know if you have been following, but I am loving how they are continuing to push the envelope by just throwing Black queer stories right into mainstream America's face, just like that. So I love what they're doing. I just, you know, unfortunately this week, to whom much is given, much is expected, baby. And they give us that platform. And because of that, you know, we've taken one step forward in the LGBT community and how we're being depicted on TV. But there's also things that happen as a result. And I refuse to say that we're going backwards because of this progress that I've seen with TV, I think it's only going to get bigger and bolder and better for representation or appropriate representation. I will say that, making sure that it's appropriate representation when it comes to media for the LGBT community. This week, though, like, I've been seeing the actors and actresses all over the place, like on social media, doing interviews. They are doing different campaigns. Miss Tati, who walks down as a 007, giving us Femme Queen. I've seen her doing something for Nike, and Teen Vogue had her on a panel. Then Precious Ebony, the MC, our Butch Queen, she was doing an interview just talking about how some of the trauma growing up, that she experienced, has caused like PTSD, which I can directly relate to, not, our stories exactly, but living with PTSD. And, it was something she said about, feeling like, because of the trauma and how she, you know, now just deals with things where, and her thought process where, she feels like, you know, she's always thinking about death. And that's the part where with me and my story, I could relate to her when she said that it's like my PTSD too. From being a survivor and going through that, it's like you always think about death. And she experienced some things. I'm going to tell you, go check out her interview if you haven't. Look on YouTube. Follow them on YouTube. Subscribe to their channels. They're really putting out some dope content as well. The Pose actress that I want to highlight this week, if you haven't saw the episode, our house mother, Electra. The actress's name is Miss Dominique Jackson, was invited to an event for Coach. And unfortunately, you know, we think this is Pride. We're being invited to these different events and they're including us. This is an inclusive environment. They get us. They understand us. They want to embrace diversity, baby. These people, sometimes they get us wrong and they don't understand our labels to the point where they invited her to something and mislabeled her on the invitation. Now, anybody know in the LGBTQIA community, when you are a transgender person, You do not mess the fucking pronouns up. His and hers, that shit matters. You don't get that wrong. And Coach, you should know better. And unfortunately, Coach got it wrong on her invitation. She did not attend, but she wanted to let us know that she will no longer be purchasing things from Coach, and that these companies during Pride, you know, they are just really here to capitalize off of us. And it's like a trend thing. They did not take the time to research and do their homework. And it was really about capitalizing not only off of her success from the show, but with this Pride Month and getting their coins. And she just said, you know, she will not be buying their products again. She is not pressed. She will be taking her coins over to Louis Vuitton because that was offensive. And I don't blame her. It was offensive. And I mean, a company like Coach should know better. They are a longstanding company for years and years. And that just shows me that, you know, it really isn't about inclusivity or diversity. They were there to capitalize off of that woman's success and with her show. And unfortunately, somebody should have told them labels matter, honey. You need to understand the labels and you need to research and do your homework when dealing with our community. So Coach, and I'm hoping, you know, they are added to that list where we are no longer purchasing from them as a community. I know some of us, we don't come together, but the gays, I feel like we do a better job than and standing together when it comes to our purchasing power. And when we say we're not dealing with the company or a business anymore, we stand behind that. There are a few of us who still can't give up that Chick-fil-A, but you know, we're not going to talk about that today. But that, I just wanted to put out there. My house and Pose, though, they keep giving me life each and every week and continue to tune in each week. I won't give away the show if you haven't seen it, but you need to check out Pose. It comes on FX, and My House comes on Viceland. Check it out. So in the spirit of Miss Dominique Jackson, I want to close with a quote that I think speaks to her spirit from Miss Noel El Sadawi, an Egyptian feminist writer. She said, "They say you are a savage and dangerous woman." Her response was, "I am speaking the truth, and that is savage and dangerous." Until next week, peace. That's our show for this week. Hopefully someone walked away with something meaningful and a better understanding of the topics we discussed. Remember, I'm going to keep grinding and keep hustling to give you this dope content. If you have questions, remember, legit questions, you can always send those in to social@beingfrankmedia.com. Again, that's social, S-O-C-I-A-L, at Being Frank Media. You can now find this podcast on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Pocket Cast, and Public Radio, y'all. Your girl doing her thing. Remember to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Being Frank Media, where you can be bold, honest, and unmistakable. Peace.